Chapter 7. A New Wife. I stayed in Gateshead for a month. I planned to come back immediately after the funeral, but my two cousins wanted me to stay with them for a while. They were young ladies now. They stood when I entered the room and called me Miss Eyre. But they did not seem very interested in me. I did not enjoy being with them very much, but I was happy to see Bessie, who gave me my uncle's letter. 2 weeks after arriving at Gateshead, I got a letter from Mrs. Fairfax. "The guests have left," she wrote, "and Mr. Rochester is away in London, but he is coming back next week. I expect him to marry Miss Ingram when he comes back." The journey back to Thornfield took a long time. I travelled 50 miles on one day and 50 miles the next. I did not know what waited for me there. "If he marries Blanche Ingram, I will not stay," I thought sadly when the carriage arrived in Millcote. "Adele will have to go to school and I must find a new job." I decided to walk the last part of the journey. It was a warm June evening, and the farmers were working in the fields. I was getting near to Thornfield when I suddenly saw a man sitting on the stile. When he saw me, he stood up.
"There you are," he said. "Is this Jane Eyre? And she is walking quietly from Millcote to her home, not taking a carriage? But of course she is. She has been away for a whole month, and I'm sure she has completely forgotten me."
His words made me happy, and for a moment I forgot about Blanche Ingram. And he used the word home. Oh, I really wanted Thornfield to be my home.
"Now go on, Jane," he said. "Take those tired feet and rest them at your friend's house."
"Thank you, Mr. Rochester," I replied. "I am strangely happy to get back to you again. Where you are is my home, my only home." I walked on quickly to find an excited Adele waiting for me by the door. A quiet 2 weeks followed. No one talked about Blanche Ingram, and Mr. Rochester did not go to visit her. He often called for me to join him, and he was very kind to me. I was starting to love him more and more. The evening of the 21st of June, the longest day of summer, was beautiful and warm. Birds flew across a blue sky, and the fields were bright and green. Adele was tired from playing outside and went to bed early. I watched her go to sleep and then went out into the garden. I walked until I came to a huge tree that had a bench under it. Suddenly, I saw Mr. Rochester coming towards me. He was happy to see me, and we sat together on the bench.
"Jane," he said, "Thornfield is nice in the summer, isn't it?"
"Yes, sir."
"I am sad that you have to leave it," he said. His words hit me hard, but I tried not to show it.
"Then you are getting married, sir?" I said.
"Yes," he replied, "in about a month. But I have found another job for you in Ireland. You'll like Ireland. The people are very friendly."
"But it is very many miles away, sir," I replied quietly.
"Miles away from what, Jane?" he asked gently.
"From England and Thornfield and..."
"And what?"
"And from you, sir," I said quickly,
and suddenly I began to cry.
"Why are you crying, Jane?" he said.
"Because I do not want to leave Thornfield, sir. I love it because I have lived a good life here. People have been kind to me. And I have known you, Mr. Rochester. And I am frightened because now I must leave you forever."
"Why must you leave me forever, Jane?"
"Because of your new wife."
"My new wife?" he shouted immediately. "I have no new wife."
"But you will, sir, so I must go."
I stood up. I will, he said angrily. And then suddenly he put his arms around me and his mouth on my mouth.
"Stop it, sir," I cried, and I pulled away from him. "You are a married man, or nearly a married man. I am a free person with her own mind, and I will decide my future."
"And you will decide your future," he said quietly, taking my hands in his. "Jane, I give you my hand and my heart, and half of everything that is mine. Jane, will you marry me? I do not love Miss Ingram, and she does not love me. I only brought her here to make you jealous. I wanted to know that you love me as much as I love you. And it worked. I love you like I love myself, you quiet, clever, modest girl. Please take me for your husband."
"Look at me, Mr. Rochester," I said. "I want to see your face."
He looked down into my eyes. His face was pale, and he looked worried.
"Are you being serious?" I asked. "Do you really love me?"
"I do. I promise it."
"Then, sir, I will marry you," I cried.
"You must call me Edward. Come to me, dear Jane. Come to me now," he said.
"Edward," I replied softly.
Then he put his arms around me and kissed me again and again. The next day, Mr. Rochester told Mrs. Fairfax that he and I were getting married in 4 weeks' time at the small church in Hay. After that, he wanted to take me to London, and then France and Italy. Mrs. Fairfax did not seem happy.
"But you have no money," she said to me later. "And he is 20 years older than you. Is he really marrying you for love? Rich men do not normally marry their governesses."
This thought made me feel uncomfortable. I began to think about the letter from my uncle, John Eyre. "I would like to have my own money," I thought. "Then, in the future, people will not say bad things about me." That evening, I wrote to my uncle in Madeira and told him about the marriage.